All right, we're joined now by Lindsay Haight, who is the executive director of Our Neighbor's Table in Newburyport. And Lindsay, welcome to MSO.
Thanks so much, Rick, for having me.
This is my first foray up there to Newburyport in terms of this kind of thing. Can, first of all, tell us a little bit about your background in terms of Our Neighbor's Table, maybe where it's located, and some of the services that you provide.
Sure. So Our Neighbor's Table's been around since 1992. And our focus is on providing food and a sense of community for people who live in the northeastern corner of Massachusetts, the greater Amesbury and Newburyport area. We serve 12 cities and towns from Boxford and Rowley north. And in that area, there are about 6,500 people living in food insecure households. And last year, in 2019, we had served approximately 4,800 of them.
Wow.
And so our primary service is to provide free groceries. We have two community-based markets. They very much resemble a grocery store. People come in, shop for whatever they need, just like they would be going to, you know, your local grocer. The only difference is they get all of that food at no cost to them, thanks to the generosity of the community and some of our food supply partners. And then we have a community meal every week as well.
And where are you located, Lindsay?
Our home base is in Amesbury. Our two community-based markets are in Amesbury and Newburyport. Our weekly dinner is in Amesbury. And then we do have some other pop-up markets that we operate in Merrimack and Amesbury as well.
That's incredible. And what are you doing at this point right now? In other words, what's changed? How are you dealing with those in need?
Yeah, you know, since we opened in 2016, the grocery markets that I just, they've really been a source of pride and, for the communities. And we, unfortunately, because of the public health directions, have had to close those markets to the public and switch all of our operations to curbside market or curbside grocery pickup. So now guests order from us online the day before and schedule an appointment to pick up, and they come much like a drive-through, and they never get out of their car. They pop their trunk, and we put the food inside. So, you know, it's still seamless for the guests, at least those who can access the internet. For those who can't, we do phone orders. You know, internally, our operations have just completely changed. Now we're more of a warehouse distribution center, and our staff are on the phones constantly all day long. So it's a very different feel for us internally, and it's a very different feel for our guests too, who are used to coming into, you know, their neighborhood markets and getting to see their neighbors. And now, you know, we at least get to wave through the car windows.
That's an amazing transition, really, to go from a supermarket to a takeout window. And I imagine you did it in a relatively short time. How did you manage the transition? And you know, how did your staff deal with that? Who did you have on board and so on?
Yeah. So we already operate from a with a very small staff. We only have a staff of 11, and a couple of our staff themselves have, you know, their own risks or concerns for their families, and so some of them have already had to work remotely. So we've cut that down. We also rely very heavily, because we have such a small staff, most of our programs are still delivered by volunteers. But because of social distancing and the size of our space, we had to cut our volunteer corps by about 80 to 85%. And so we're doing all of it on about 20% of the workforce that we normally operate on. So I guess the the short answer would be a lot of sleepless nights.
Long days,
just to turn everything around.
It's funny. I was going to say, I bet you sleep well at night because you're so tired, but you're right. I imagine so many things are going through your head in this transition and making sure you check off all the boxes to make sure everything's going correctly. How has the transition been? Because it sounds like at this point it's running along pretty well.
It is. You know, I think last week we finally started to turn the corner. And so, you know, the calls coming into our office are fewer now. People, you know, are getting to understand our new operations and how to use our website. So I think our shoppers are getting used to that. And we're putting the systems in place and being able to engage some of our volunteers remotely to take on some of these tasks behind the scenes. So I think we're finally turning the corner. We're understanding our new normal. But, you know, I was just training a volunteer this morning, and we were talking about how to register a new guest. And that normally in an in-person environment is maybe a two-step process.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because we don't get to see each other and we have people working at different sites, it's a 14.
God. Oh my.
And that's what we're going to have to sustain for the next however many months that this goes on.
Have you seen an increase in people who are asking for help?
Tremendously. We've been, you know, just kind of watching our numbers and just since the month before all of this broke. So comparing, you know, from March 16th to now to the previous month, before March 16th, we've had a 17% increase in the pounds of food that we're distributing. We have increased the volume of new registrations by 5.
Wow.
You know, we used to register maybe in the course of a month, we'd register maybe 30 new households that had never come to our programs before. And we've registered almost 170 in the last 4 weeks. So again, that 14-step process that I just described, we have to process 170 people through that. We're just not quite equipped to do that. So, but the good news is that our food supply has been strong, and so you know, once we can get the operations out and get people through the process, they can get the groceries that they need. So we've enrolled, I think it was just over 400 new people, so 170 households, but they're made up of about 400 people who had never been getting programs from services from us before. But they are all now getting a really beautiful bag of groceries with meat and fresh fruits and vegetables and milk and eggs. As well as all the other, you know, canned and box staples that we have in our kitchen.
Well, I'm going to make a political statement here. I don't know about Make America Great Again, but what you do and what your people do is part of what has always made America great. So thank you so much for that. And I want to ask you, Lindsay, in terms of this thing has gone on now, and, you know, you've had your steady supply, you've had your experience so over the course of years. But this thing broke. There's an adrenaline rush. People rush to help. The businesses have rushed to help. Is that being sustained, or now that, you know, we're 30 days or plus 30 days plus into this thing, is it beginning to dwindle a little bit in terms of your getting what you need in terms of either volunteer help or monetary help?
You know, I have to say I really want to give a huge shout out and thanks to everyone in the greater Amesbury and Newburyport region. Because people do continue to keep food access at the top of their minds and thinking about more and more people who are getting laid off from work or, you know, are depleting their savings. So, you know, I think that the outreach I feel is still strong. And, you know, in our area, you know, we're kind of behind the curve in terms of infection, so we're only just starting to see rates of infection in our region climb. So I'm not sure how that's going to affect people's ability to help as we become more impacted directly by the virus. But people have, you know, the outpouring of generosity has been truly amazing. And, you know, if a lot of people have joined our Breakfast Club, which is our club of sustaining donors, people who make a monetary donation every month. It's just automated through their bank account or credit card. And that's really heartening because, you know, they give a little bit less at a time, but we know that they're with us for the long haul. So that's really meaningful.
Well, I was going to ask you what your biggest need is. So how do people do that? I'm guessing that the food drop-off is a no-no right now, and the best way to do it is through gift cards or with money.
Yeah, I think financial donations are really are most helpful for us and you know, for our peer organizations as well. We can't have the public just coming to our site, dropping off donations. We don't want extra people handling product in uncontrolled environments. And so financial contributions, they can make them right on our website, ourneighborstable.org/give. You know, whether you're giving to us or any of our peer organizations in the community, they, you know, that's really the best way for us to help. It gives us the flexibility, whether we have to pay overtime for our staff, buying lunches for our volunteers who are now working 8 to 10 hour shifts, or purchasing food to supplement our food supply chain right now, or just putting gas in our trucks to be able to keep them on the road to pick up food that is available to us.
And if there is someone in need, I know that you deal confidentially and compassionately with people. How is the best way for them to get a hold of you guys?
Yeah, whether you can give or you need to receive at this time, ourneighborstable.org is really your one-stop shop. There's we have an ourneighborstable.org/getfood. That get food link is right on our homepage as well. We are seeing so many people who, you know, maybe have been giving to us all these years and have now both earners in the household have lost their jobs. And, you know, the stories that they're sharing are just so compelling. And I guess I just want to say it's never been more discreet than it is now. You register online. You come through in your car. You never even get out. So you're really only making eye contact with one volunteer on the curbside, maybe two. So I know in normal circumstances, people's pride and fear keep them from accessing help all the time. And now where it's affecting so many people, you can do this. You know, this is the one thing you can control. Being able to put food on the table for your kids when everything else is going, you know, seems to be crumbling around you. This is one thing you can control, and you can do it discreetly. It's practically anonymous. Everything at Our Neighbor's Table is 100% confidential. So I just encourage you to go to ourneighborstable.org/getfood, register, place your orders, and get the food you need.
Oh, very, very powerful. Lindsay, is there anything else you'd like to mention about staff or about production or about needs maybe that I haven't asked you about?
You know, I think, again, I just want to give kudos to all of our staff and volunteers who are here, even those who can't be with us physically are constantly reaching out. And I just want to say thank you to everybody. They're really incredible. And I think it's really heartwarming to know that food security is on the top of everyone's mind during this public health crisis. I think it's a huge testament to the increase in awareness of the issue in our region. And, you know, it gives me hope for what we can sustain after this crisis is over.
That is Lindsay Haight, who is the executive director of Our Neighbor's Table. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.